For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it is the second half kickoff for the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. It is 8:06. Thanks so much for tuning in. We do appreciate it. I know you're talking about Alexa or Google, HomePod, Sonos. Anyway, you run your smart speaker, you can just set it up to play 960 The Ref and then just play 960 The Ref. That's all you got to do.
It's that simple, man. Those smart speakers love playing 960 The Ref.
If Carol and I can do it, I'm going to go out there and say just about anybody can do it.
I can confirm. If Dave can find a way to make his smart speakers play 960 The Ref, then you as well can make it work.
And if you're working from home or if you're not going to the office as much as you were, you can still roll with us thanks to the beauty of the smart speaker. And you know what else you can hear? Dog Nation Daily.
Not just the morning show. We got a great show from noon to one.
Monday through Friday, you can catch our main man, Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. And by the way, what a coincidence. He happens to be on the phone with us right
is
now.
Is that right?
Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
Well, good morning, guys. It is good to be back with you again, and probably not the conversation we thought we'd be having the day after spring practice was supposed to have started on March 17th. So a little bit different kind of tone, a little bit different kind of conversation, and yet we still thrive no matter what.
Well, yeah, and case in point yourself. So you're doing things differently. So tell us a little bit about how life has changed for you as far as the delivery of the great program from Dog Nation Daily.
Yeah, so we are now homebound. We are doing our part to, span the social distance. So that means for Dog Nation Daily that you hear on 9:60 the afternoon, I am recording that from home. I'll show y'all a picture one day of the very, very state-of-the-art podcast that I've erected to get all this done, and you laugh at the it is not necessarily a thing of extent beauty, but you know what, it kind of gets the job done here, at least for now. So hopefully we're not doing this, you know, too long. I think we're all cheering for return to normalcy here really soon. But for now, I'm just thankful for the resources to be able to get done. It isn't, I guess, the most.
Hey, B.A., let's try to call you back here. We're getting a bad cell. It may be the virus. I don't know. But you sounded good. Are you moving around while you're talking?
Probably so. Am I in a better spot
now? You sound great now, yes. You sound beautiful.
Okay, well,
don't move. Just stay
Park it right there, B.A.
The statue posed position right there.
Make a Heisman pose if you want.
I guess this doesn't speak well of me trying to do Dog Nation Daily from my home if I can't even fully execute a phone call from my home. But nonetheless, that is what we're doing right now. And so we're going to keep delivering, you know, fun UGA-themed content and try to keep people entertained and take people's minds off more serious stuff. And I know you guys there at 960 The Ref are doing the same thing.
Oh,
that
yeah.
really is our job in a time like this, is just try to, you know, just be a diversion. That's probably always true for sports, but probably even more so when you've got odd things like this going on in the universe.
Now, last Wednesday morning, I was actually out because I was in Statesboro with the Georgia baseball team. Do y'all remember what was the tone of the conversation like? I know it was kind of weird at the time, right? But was the thing, you know, we're like, hey, we're looking forward to the Georgia playing tonight in the SEC basketball tournament. Spring football practice starts next week. Even, I mean, it's amazing that that was just a week ago.
Somebody said it best. The last week has been a pretty long year, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think that some of what was going on was setting in with us last week, but I mean, I remember late last week just being really angered by the fact that, you know, there were these sweeping cancellations to the College World Series and things like that, you know, what I felt like was well ahead of the time when a decision like that had to be made. I still feel like the NCAA probably handled that in the wrong fashion, and yet, boy, it sure was wishful thinking to think that, you know, the world would be back, you know, fully put in place by, you know, whenever you want to start talking about, you know, these NCAA spring events taking place. So I think that, unfortunately, in between the two Wednesdays, the last time we spoke and speaking here today, I think a lot of the reality of all this is probably setting in a lot more. And it's, you know, let's face it, it's an uncomfortable reality for a lot of people right now. And yet, that makes it even more important to kind of see the path forward and see the better days that are ahead and celebrate the things that we'll have a chance to enjoy again, because I think that's part of the motivation for how you get through what is, for some people, only an inconvenience, for other people, more serious than that. And yet, you know, sports once again will be kind of that unifying force for our society that helps us get through all of that.
BA, right now, no headline surprises. Everything just seems normal, even though it's the most unnormal that it's ever been. But I think yesterday, when all of us at the same time got that press release from Claude Felton and the SEC, basically saying point blank, G-Day canceled. Certainly some football implications that we need to talk about. But first and foremost, that is always a day for the decades that I know you've been going as well. G-Day is sort of a day for the fans to really just kind of grab onto a little bit of football, just a really happy feeling around Athens that day. And now we, the fans, are not going to be able to do that. So for me, and I think you probably as well, that was one of those headlines that just kind of hit you in the chest a little bit harder than others. Is that right?
Yeah, probably so. And I think that Georgia, and I've talked about this a good bit, is probably a little bit of an outlier around college football in that G-Day spring games are still a big deal in Athens, whereas even for a lot of like the major power programs, the spring football game is just not that big of a deal anymore. And the honest truth is, you know, to have a good spring practice, you probably don't need a spring game. It's just that fans kind of want one, and it becomes just one more thing to sell. I know for Georgia, it also becomes a big recruiting opportunity. They host a lot of visitors
right.
for a situation like that. So I guess one of the things I'm curious about in college football at large, after all of this, when we start putting the world back together again, I'm wondering if around the rest of the sport, around the rest of the country, if spring games get de-emphasized even more, because I think that's the direction that a lot of programs kind of want to go. There are a lot of very big programs that essentially only have a glorified practice now as it is. They don't keep score. They don't do regular football-type stuff. G-Day has always looked like a football game, including the fans in the stands, especially during the Smart era. There have been huge crowds for G-Day. So it's important for Georgia fans to remember that, for whatever reason, G-Day is just a bigger deal on the Georgia campus than it is for a lot of the really big programs around college football. And there are a few SEC teams where it still matters a great deal. I would say that Georgia may be at the top of the list in terms of just what fan reaction has been under Smart. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, the world, after all of this, is kind of, you know, gets back to normal again, and we kind of decide the things that we didn't do during the breakout, or at least the attempt to stop the breakout. You know, how much of that do we want to keep doing and whatever else? I think that the future of spring games after all of this will be pretty interesting. Probably no change to G-Day, but maybe some even quicker changes to some of the rest of college football, who maybe just doesn't want to do this as much anymore anyway.
As far as football implications go, I think we all can agree this was a very, very important spring for a lot of reasons for this Georgia football team. But what are one or two things that you think will have the biggest impact? Maybe Jamie Newman or just a lot of other offensive players, or even the implementation of Todd Monken's offense. What do you think is going to hurt the most from missing spring practice?
Well, I think that you can probably, for stuff like that, I think in terms of like installing a new offense and things like that, you can probably still do that in the summer and probably be fine. And in a roundabout way, not having spring practice and, you know, whispers and rumors getting out, maybe that makes it even tougher for Georgia's opponents to know exactly what they're going to be, you know, planning to do. Obviously, Jamie Newman's the quarterback, and you're going to think of him getting guys together for, you know, some private workouts and things like that. But my understanding is right now is you know, players aren't even welcome on campus at the moment, so it may be a little difficult for him to do that. I talked to John Stinchcomb about this on Monday. I think this is one of the things that's really worth watching, and some players will handle this better than others. Some programs will handle this better than others. It's that personal responsibility you have now to take to make sure you stay in the best physical condition. That means making sure you find some way to work out. Gyms are closing. How do you get that done right now? I think the nutrition is also the biggest part of this too. I talked about this on our video show yesterday. If the three of us said, "Hey, we're getting the best shape we can be," for the swimsuit season coming up, we all know that what we eat is more important than how much we exercise. Not that exercise is not important, but if I eat a plate full of donuts, there's not a lot of exercise I can do to mitigate that. The calories you take in are pretty important there. I would say the same thing for the elite athletes, too. Finding a way to get nutrition when you don't have the UGA nutrition program serving it up to you, you know, that's going to be a situation where some people handle that better than others. Now, these are also elite athletes that once they're kind of back under Georgia's control again, their bodies will change quickly. We've already seen that from some of the freshmen who've come in. But these next few months, when guys are on their own and they don't have the watchful eye of Scott Sinclair or whomever else, you know, paying attention to them, they're going to have to find a way to keep their bodies in football shape the best they can. And when you don't have that accountability that you're used to having, that's just not necessarily an easy thing to do.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, right here on 960 The Ref. And your smart speaker as well. Bea, we get back to spring practice for a moment. I would be curious to know how many coaches would rather have an extra day of just a practice as opposed to the spring game. And the spring game could be beneficial for guys to get out there and play in front of a big crowd. Now, granted, there are some schools. There's one west of here that don't have a whole lot of people show up for their spring game anyway, so it may not matter. But I wonder how many coaches would give up the spring game to have that one extra practice.
I think more than we probably realize, because G-Day is such a show, right? It's like,
yeah,
you know, there were 93,000 people there a few years ago, and even smaller crowds the last couple of years. It's still this thing. I mean, you can point to some recruits. Our buddy Jeff Sintel's done a pretty good job of chronicling this. A number of recruits who kind of formed their opinion on Georgia on the basis of seeing the atmosphere around G-Day.
Yeah.
It was sort of SEC enough that they said, well, it's going to be even bigger than this come the fall, and Georgia's a place that I want to be really interested in. So Georgia's not only found a way to make it fun for the fans, but also an integral part of the recruiting process. But for the average program where it's just hard to get people to show up in late March or early April or whenever else the spring game's going to be, for the average program, I think they probably would rather have rather have the extra practice. That may change a little bit now because we're in an era where, you know, official visits can take place in these spring seasons. And I think for the non-SEC team, the spring official visit is probably pretty important. I think it's those schools that probably push for that change the recruiting calendar as it is, a chance for them to host ahead of when decisions often get made in, like, say, late July, early August, and also a chance to host recruits during a warmer weather time of the year for their campus. And so, you know, maybe the recent implementation of official visits during that spring time of year, maybe that kind of keeps spring games in vogue. But, I mean, I think if you really looked at the rule formats for a lot of these games, and I hesitate to mention a program by name because I want to make sure I'm accurate on this, but if you look at a lot of the rule formats for a lot of spring games, they have convoluted scoring systems. It's not, you know, the way that Georgia is, where a black team scores a touchdown, red team scores a touchdown, you score it like a regular football game. For a lot of these programs, it's like such an odd scoring thing that it really does feel more like a practice than a game.
When we were out in College Station a couple of years ago for baseball, it was the same weekend they were having their spring game, and it was like some kind of weird points thing that they were doing. And I didn't even get what they were doing. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I could barely keep up with touchdowns and extra points and safeties. I don't need all this other stuff. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Let me ask you this, if you don't mind. I mean, how much are you missing right now? I mean, it would have been Georgia, Florida, I believe, last weekend. You know, this is that thing where, you know, I think about, you know, driving to spring practice and, you know, listening to the baseball game on the way home on 960 Ref and stuff like that. I mean, for a lot of us, that's a very hard thing to get used to not having. You're in the booth. How weird has that been for you, knowing that you're not going to be doing that this spring?
Let me answer partially for Dave real quick, Brandon. Just a minute ago, I jokingly played Who Let the Dogs Out for a rejoin, and Dave says he wishes he was in the stands to complain about Who Let the Dogs Out.
I did. That's funny. I would give anything to be at a game right now to complain about music that was being played. I mean, that's how I feel right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's awful. And I feel for the student athletes, the guys that aren't going to play again. And then just, And look, I'm not. This isn't blaming the SEC or the NCAA. I mean, we're having to do what we've got to do right now. But they just basically had the rug pulled out from under them. And the baseball team, yeah. I mean, they were on their way back from, you know, that road trip and found right. out that, like, hey, by the way, all the spring championships have been canceled by the NCAA. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, this just hit that there's no College World Series. There's no College World Series yeah. for sophomore. There's no NCAA track and field championships. But, yeah, just personally, yeah, it's just – it's so weird right now. I think I'm still in a little bit of a state of shock where it hasn't hit me yet. But I know, like, this weekend, the Dogs were supposed to host South Carolina. Yeah, and next weekend, the Dogs were supposed to be at Vanderbilt. That's when it'll really start hitting me. But it's you know, when I hear what you said and people say, ah, you know, I was just so used to listening to the games and, you know, being, you know, in the car, working at home, that kind of thing, and listening to the games. It's just – and it's not there. I mean, it's just – it's bizarre. I mean, it really is. But, yeah, I mean, we're having to make these adjustments. And but I – you know, for me and Jeff and everyone else that works in the industry, I mean, it's tough, but I really, really, really hate it for the you know, for the players that they're done.
I totally agree. And obviously the sport's never been hotter on campus in Athens. I know the season tickets sell out, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's gotten very hard to get a ticket to baseball games. That's how big the product has become in Athens. And I think that, and I'm not really an expert on what I'm about to say, but I do think it's worth paying attention to that as we move forward and kind of put sports back together again, I think we got to figure out who college baseball's advocates are. Because I know when it comes to things like adding the extra assistant coach and stuff like that,
yeah.
where the SEC was just perplexed by the lack of cooperation by some of the forces outside the conference. I think we got to be really careful here and, you know, find out, you know, how to be a good advocate for a sport that we all, you know, really love. And I'd say the same thing about softball and things like that as well. You know, there's people don't maybe pay attention to it as much, but there are some weird things that go on every now and then with baseball at the national level. And, you know, that's something I hope it doesn't get swept under the rug through all of this.
Yeah, 11.7 scholarships. Like you said, the not being able to get the legislation passed through last year about the extra assistant coach. I mean, it's crazy. It really is.
B.A., let me give you a kind of a thought. I haven't heard many people talking about this, but it's something that's kind of crossed my mind as far as NCAA relations, as far as this goes. Specifically football, there's sort of been a movement, kind of a mindset of the last couple of years where it almost seems like a lot of players, not all, but a lot of players seem reluctant to admit that the NCAA and college football is a good thing for them, where they want to sit out bowl games or they want to complain about their having to be there for several years and they'd rather go on and do something else and they need to get paid, all the conversations around it. But now that they've taken all of this just away overnight, they no longer have their weight rooms, their strength and conditioning programs. Pro Day is canceled for a lot of kids that needed that to show a lot of scouts how good they are. When it comes back and we get back to normalcy, do you think there might be a little bit of a shift of maybe more appreciation for what the NCAA offers these student athletes as opposed to sort of the mindset recently where it's been a bad thing?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think it is an interesting test case to think that we're going to have an NFL draft in a couple of weeks and essentially, you know, no pro days whatsoever, no personal workouts. And I'll say for a lot of the players on the fringe of making an NFL roster, and there's some guys from UGA who probably fall into this category, that's a tough situation. You know, you want that extra chance to prove yourself to somebody, and I hate it for them. They're not going to get that. But the larger point, just looking at this globally, I think that you're right. I mean, I'm no personnel expert. I'm no NFL general manager, but if I was, I'm going to base the overwhelming majority of my decision on the basis of the game tape. There's nothing more important than what guys do during games, and I'm a big believer that college football provides that in a way that obviously no other league has ever been able to, nor do I think any league ever will be able to. You know, there's always these things up when an XFL pops up or something like that of, oh, well, maybe an elite recruit's going to go get paid in the XFL as opposed to you know, going to college football. Eventually something like that might happen. I think it becomes an interesting test case because I think what we see is that the single best proving ground for who belongs in the NFL, college football has done that very well for decades, if not more than a century. If anything, the NFL ought to be paying college football for the way in which it trains up the next generation of professional football players. I'm obviously a college football guy. I mean, it's the sport that I love more than any other. But I think the one thing that cannot be overstated is how effective it is at identifying the best players over the course of 3 or 4 years worth of competition and putting those guys at the doorstep of the NFL and ready to compete there at that level. If the NFL was in charge of this, like, say, Major League Baseball can kind of be for guys sometimes 18 years old out of high school who go into the professional system, there is no way, if professional football was in charge of this on their own, there is no way it would train up players as well as college football does. That's not necessarily the number one job of college football, but as kind of a latent, benefit of the sport, it clearly does it better than almost anything else could.
B.A., great stuff as always.
One final thought. You just mentioned the NFL and the XFL. What are your thoughts on this Tom Brady to the Tampa Bay Vipers? That's kind of crazy, isn't it, the XFL? I had no idea.
I had no idea that Brady at this stage of his career was thinking about the XFL. Yeah, listen, you got to give credit to the NFL, man. The whole sports world is just sort of ground to a halt. There's literally nothing going on. You know, if you turn on the NFL Network, they're just like business as usual, you know, blasting on these trades and free agents and everything else. That league finds a way.
Man. They're saving us, man. They're giving us conversation. B.A., thanks as always.
All right, y'all have a good day.
We'll be listening to you noon to one today, Dog Nation Daily. Thanks, Brandon.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks, B.A.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.